I think yoga is the practice of paying attention. On this podcast, Yoga Strong, we talk about what paying attention on the mat, what being aware and being present, whether you're in the studio or out of the studio, or in the kitchen, or with your family, or with your friends, in connection, in your heart, in your head. What does paying attention look like for your life? That's what this podcast is all about. That's what Yoga Strong is about. It's not just strong in your muscles and strong in your movement on the mat. It's strong everywhere. This is Yoga Strong with your host, Bonnie Weeks. Welcome back to the podcast. I feel really honored. Anytime I have the opportunity to come and be with a guest here in Yoga Strong, and it's always something that I try to share with any guest who comes in. Like, this is a platform where, like, we're gathering here, right? There's a lot of people coming, and maybe you're listening from a lot of different locations, not just, you know, locations in the world, but different locations in your house, in your car, in your wherever, different situations. And just like the honor it feels like to introduce you to people who I think are doing cool stuff, people who are movers and shakers, people who are being brave and curious in sharing their voice and making a difference where they are. And I think there's like, there's just a lot of bravery and boldness that goes along with that, and the leadership skills required to do that. And you know, some people might not consider themselves a leader. The person today definitely is, but it takes a lot of awareness of self. And as we're here on this podcast and saying that this is the practice of paying attention, and the way that that shows up everywhere, and especially as teachers and people who might stand up in front of people like my guest here today, it feels like an honor to hold space for conversations with people who are not just leading the work, but are willing to like step into it themselves. And people who are willing to walk like next to all the people, like with them, not above them, not behind them, but they're leading from the front. So welcome today to the podcast, Steph. You are one of these people.
Thank you so much. I'm already tearing up and my cheeks hurt. I'm smiling so big. Bonnie, you're just a joy. And in all the years that I've known you and that we've worked together and have conversations together, this feels just like a really palpable moment for me. Like sitting across from you in so many different ways that we even with one another have worn different hats in our dynamics of how we know each other and how we interact. And it feels so special to be here on your podcast and to be seen as a leader, and also just the ease with which you hold people in conversation. Like, I already feel so relaxed and like, it's just Steph and Bonnie. Here we are.
Exactly. Well, and I want to share this because I think there's, you know, you've listened to the podcast for a while. And so now you're like, now I'm on the podcast.
Yeah. I remember when you started the podcast. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. You've been with me for a second. Well, and just that you said before you're, before we start recording, you're like, well, what do I have to share? Like, I'm going to show up on the podcast and like, who am I? And, you know, for you to like be that space and to think that even this morning, and then to be here, and for anybody else out there who like listens to this conversation to be like, I could never be on a podcast. I don't have anything. Like, there's nothing like glamorous over here. I'm just being me and doing my thing. And to say the same thing, you know, to them as to you is like, but that is interesting. Like the ways that we like do things, the ways we exist in the world, the way we think about the things, the way we problem solve, the way we just show up is interesting. It is. Mm. So,
and I agree with you because I nerd out on listening to other people's podcasts and conversations. And I recently, the podcast episode where you talked with Logan about calling others into existence, like so powerful. I just shared it with a friend this last week because she's new to your podcast. And I said, here's one I really love, this episode. So hearing other people just talk about sharing ideas and the way that they are in the world and how we are with others, like I find so fascinating. So I'm grateful to be part of that world now here, that maybe someone else will find some nuggets of wisdom or inspiration just in these dynamics of the things that we have experienced both together and separately, and what's brought us here to this space now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's like dive into this for a second. So you've been following me for a second on, I've said second a lot of times now, on Instagram. I've done different teacher things. You've engaged with Flow School and the Yoga Teacher Circle when that was running, and both times when it was running. It's not running anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to share our origin story? I can share how I found you.
Yeah. Well, so this is like my experience with you has been this. So like, you know, like Steph shows up, listens to podcasts, yoga teacher. Well, I think it was, Yoga Teacher Circle and Flow School, both of those things. And then for a second last year, then we worked together and you were like, hey, I'm over here. Like, I'll totally step in and help you do things. Like, oh my gosh. Well, I guess that was, I mean, that was a year ago now for sure. It was this time last year that we're moving my platform for Studio B over. That was last year.
Yeah. So end of 2021 is when we started working together in a more official, like, boss employee relationship.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to pay you, Steph. Please let me pay you. Yeah. And then we worked together and now you're owning a studio. And now we're like just sitting here having this conversation. Neither's paying each other. We're just here.
Remember how I wanted to keep working for you though? I was totally laughing at myself this week talking to my new friend about how you and I knew each other and how I was like, okay, so I'm going to buy this studio, but I'm going to keep working for you, and how you nicely fired me. Yeah. And I told her, like, Bonnie had to basically be like, Steph, you have to stop working for me so that you can go do your next thing. And I'm so grateful for that, like, permission to fly. And even though I was like so resistant to like, Bonnie, I would follow you anywhere. Speaking of which, you had messaged John this week about a book thing. Mm-hmm. And he even said to me like how inspired he's always felt by you. And that he was like, anytime that it comes to project ideas or work, I would follow Bonnie wherever she has the idea to go.
Oh my gosh. And I thought,
that, yeah, just feels so true. I think for both of us, like, you have this magnetism and this excitement for life that, like, anytime you're coming up with an idea for a project, I'm like, okay, I am here for it. What are we doing? Let's go. It feels really fun to jump in and say yes to projects that you have going on. So that's always been an easy yes for me.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Like, I think I tried to like be thoughtful about the projects, and sometimes I get rather excited about something. So, I mean, it is like the work too, to be like, not everybody's going to be excited. So to hear that you're on my team, you and John are on my team, that sounds like, let's be on the team together.
For sure. For sure. So, I think it's fun to hear how your perspective was of me coming into your life, like where you first became aware.
This was very, like, okay, I feel like that wasn't as generous as I should have been though. Cause you,
oh gosh,
this is going to be the love fest. The love fest first, then we're going to like dive in. But I think though, one of the reasons why I think we're here sitting today is that when you showed up, whether it's Flow School or the Yoga Teacher Circle, you showed up. And if yoga is the practice of paying attention, if showing up and caring about people and like being really present, and like you can feel that, like any of us can feel that when somebody is there and you're totally invested in conversation, you can feel that in the way somebody stands. You can feel it in the way that somebody's attention is being given, the presence that they have. And we don't have to stare at each other the whole time for us to be present, right? Like, it's almost like we're just here, we're in it. And you should, whenever you showed up, it was that, and you always were thoughtful in contribution. And so, you know, I've always thought that, you know, when I am looking for somebody to help me within like what I'm doing online and constantly figuring out how to not just trust myself, but trust other people and give up a sense of control over things that I'm doing, of that, I just like, there's going to be people in my orbit that are already like ready and want to step in. And so when you were like, hey, like I'm here and I'm, you know, when I was like, I think I'm looking for somebody. And you're like, hey, pick me. Here I am. And I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense to me. Like, here we are. We can like have this communication, this conversation and support for each other. And to like kind of had this exchange where I like coaching and doing one-on-one coaching is, especially for yoga leadership and yoga teachers, is, you know, feels really close to my heart. And so that we were able to have that. And then to loop this back to where, you know, you currently are and stepping into this position, and I did fire you. I was like, no, Steph. It's like, you know, I was talking to somebody, they're like, you know what, you should put this out there, Bonnie. Like, if people work for you, you're gonna be like, you know, the last person that worked for me now has their own studio. Like, this is who's working for you. This is who you're working with. And that if somebody's working with you, like, that's the type of encouragement you're giving. And I was like, you know, I haven't thought of it that way. It's just like, it's just what happens. Like, we're here for the evolving of all of us. And like, if I'm going to work with you, I'm going to cheer the hell out of wherever it is you want to go.
Oh yeah. I 100% can attest to that. And I think that you should share, because from my perspective, just briefly, I started off as this baby yoga teacher. In fact, I think when I found you, it was with the idea to do yoga teacher training, but I had not yet done my training.
Okay.
And so I have my arc with you and along with you, and I for sure see you as an integral part to me forming into where I am now, is that what inspired me online, following you on Instagram, transformed into becoming a teacher, running my own business as a sole proprietor, and then turning into a yoga leader at a studio, which you coached me through, turning into this like yoga teacher manager, and then becoming ready for this position to now be a yoga studio owner, which is when you kind of cut me off and said, go fly, do the thing. But even still, you know, through that continued connection, I know that you're a resource I could always go to and talk to, and the different ways that we can now show up and work together, or Marco Polo about things and talk about yoga entrepreneurship. Like, it's been a wild ride for me to feel like you were this celebrity kind of status to me at first. And now I can honestly say that we're friends, and it's really cool to feel that connection. Like, when you have Bonnie in your corner, like, she is always going to be your number one cheerleader to be strong in your voice, to not teach like her, but to teach in your power, and then to inspire that in other people. Like, the way that it translates through now to my team and the feedback I've received, I can honestly say, like, well, gosh, it's all because of Bonnie's leadership and mentorship that you model that. And so it makes it natural to pass it down the line. So thank you for that. It's such a gift.
Wow. Wow, that feels really big. And before we were recording, you had talked about, I loved this visual of holding hands down a rope together. Like, where you're like, we're holding this rope that may perhaps is like, maybe the rope is representative of like the timeline of things, or like the passage through a certain idea or adventure. Perhaps a yoga studio is the rope, right? Perhaps like being a parent is the rope, perhaps like whatever it is, you know, and that we like other people are holding the rope, have held the rope before us, are holding it up. And if we like put our hands on there together with that, like, I love like the tactile visual of that. That's what this feels like. I mean, and it's not, the rope falls to the ground if we don't have other hands holding it.
Yeah. I think in my mind, I pictured a tug of war rope, but not because we're like in this game of push and pull, but there's these knots on a tug of war rope that everybody's holding a spot. And it really takes so many hands to make the work light, to feel that power. And we're passing things down. I imagined it like this wisdom train, right? Of like the people who first started on the path of yoga. I mean, we could go thousands of years back if we want to do that, but there is a lineage and a tradition and a history, and every teacher that teaches yoga now has been touched at some point by the original teachers. Like, whether it's just through dissemination of information, whether it's you read the Vedas, whatever it is, like, you would not be standing in a room or on Zoom teaching a yoga practice if you hadn't been inspired or touched by someone who came before. And so just in the way of now stepping into this role of owning a yoga studio, which has always been a dream, but didn't think it would happen as fast as it did or in the way it did. I am so humbled and honored by those who came before me, even to establish this space and then hand me that mantle or the keys to this studio, both literally and figuratively, to say, I'm going to let you hold this community and trust that you can lift with us. And so there's a piece of honoring one another, like those who came before and those who will come after, and what are we establishing? And when we come to it and paying attention to what inspires us, like, then we're helping pass along that inspiration to others, and they're going to bring new attention and new eyes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Let's jump in a little bit more. One of the things that we have in common, and part of the way that you found me originally, is because of our Mormonness.
Yes.
Mormon background. And for those who are not familiar with, like, Mormon culture, I guess, a missionary that served his mission in my parents', like, in my parents live in Montana. So he served his mission in Montana and met my parents. And then I think he came to, like, when I was married and I had my ex lived in Sacramento, and we had a wedding reception, even in, like, his parents' backyard. And, like, that missionary, like, even came to that reception.
Yes.
And then you knew him.
Yeah. So the story from my side was, I've had this family friend for years and years. So shout out to Jared Joyner, because he was the initial connection. And if you know Jared, he kind of knows everyone. He was my hairdresser. And so I would go every couple months, see him, and he worked at a gym, which out here, it was Lifetime Fitness out here in Roseville. And so he was connected with the salon and spa at Lifetime, where I was practicing yoga. And I had started getting really into it at that point, was when I thought, you know, I think I want to do a yoga teacher training. I really feel like something is calling me to this work. I don't know what it is, but I need to follow this. And he goes, you know, I follow someone online who does yoga, and I don't know if you would be interested in her, but she's pretty rad. And he was like, I went to their wedding reception and I served my mission and knew her family. And so I was like, oh, just kind of a personal family friend, I guess. And I started following you and was like, oh, you have quite the presence online. I don't think you had started your podcast yet or anything, but I was like, oh, I could tell right away you were this force. And I don't know if you felt that way, but it was like, ooh, okay, she's not just doing yoga. She's, like, really putting out some cool stuff. And so I was really inspired right from the beginning. This kind of, you were on the back of my mind all the time. And as I went through yoga teacher training, I was like, but I want to teach like Bonnie. Like, I don't need to teach exactly what she does, but, like, the way you showed up with confidence and all of these things that you would share, I was like, yeah, I just felt like she gets it. Or I felt this resonance of idea sharing. So I was always recommending you to people and, like, seeing the ways that you would show up. So when you started the yoga teacher circle initially, I felt like, oh, that's an easy yes. I'm going to join the yoga teacher circle. I want to learn all the ins and outs of how she weaves in yoga and leadership. But yeah, it was so funny initially to have Jared be that connecting piece, just because of where he'd served his mission, and watching your transition as well, like, through stepping away from the church, or also your divorce. Like, I watched all of that before you probably even knew I was aware of you.
It's wild. I think these, like, windows into each other that we get because of social media is more powerful, I think, sometimes than we give credit to. And yeah, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for Jared. I'm grateful for, like, and truly, I think in this moment of, like, yes, I've stepped away from the church, but, like, I'm so grateful for the church. I'm grateful for the ways that I was raised. And I have found members who are still members of the church. And that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything or want to be there, but, like, I am grateful for that. And I think as far as this conversation goes, and I really want to dive into, you know, kind of leaning into you owning a studio and what that's like. And I know there's a lot of people out there, like, going into or thinking about that, but I think this is an important piece of it, because in our Mormon upbringings, and you're still a current practicing Mormon as well, is that we have a lot of opportunities for leadership. And coming into a yoga space where perhaps we might lead a collective of teachers or in a gym or in a spa or whatever it is that you go and step into leadership roles, we have a lot of things that perhaps are skills that we have honed or brought that aren't necessarily on a resume. And so I would love to hear from you about like those leadership opportunities. And I think especially because I think there's things in our lives that we all go through that perhaps don't make it on the resume, but are big pieces of why we can step in the room. And we do have skills and that maybe we discount. And I think there's a lot of us that do discount. Perhaps we're like, I don't have anything interesting. I can't lead this. You're like, actually, I think you have more than you think you do. And like kind of this like unacknowledged piece of leadership that I think that not everybody might walk away with, and everybody is going to have a very vastly different experience within organized religion. But as far as you and I are concerned in this conversation, I think that there's some big pieces that you are bringing to the table within your community and what, and how you're leading that in ways that's really powerful. That's like, I mean, you're like, I'll just hit this podcast on replay to like, hear you like say very kind things about me and how I've shown up in the world. But Steph, like you've been in it. Like you chose to be in it. You chose to like take these places of leadership and work and practice your voice and practice leading and practice like being with people that maybe aren't making it on the resume, but are largely impactful to where you stand today. So I'd love to hear more about, like, tell me what you, like, if you reflect on your leadership training, we'll put that in air quotes because it's not necessarily official, that your Mormon upbringing and practice and kind of interactions have given to you, like in what ways have those, can you see that those have directly impacted where you are leading today?
Yeah. Thank you for asking about it. I think my first thought that comes to mind when I reflect back on just LDS culture in general is it's very structured. It's very organized. I can't remember a time growing up that I didn't know what my sort of expected place was in it. And that doesn't necessarily work for everybody, but I know that growing up, it was very clear to me, like, who had what jobs and who did what thing. And it's very orderly in the way that even you look out for each other, we have like assigned families that you're checking in on. So there's this whole, I mean, there's a reason that the emblem, right, for the Deseret industry is the honeybee. It's like this organized system of showing up and doing your job is kind of how I think of it. And so especially during the time that I was in college was where I really felt stepping into this role of leadership within the church, of being part of presidencies, of the way that everything is kind of chunked out into these different pieces within the church. There's councils and quorums and groups of auxiliaries, but everybody knows their piece. And I think that was really what inspired me, like, oh, this is kind of how it works. And if everything worked in this order, like I think that there are traits of the divine that are orderly. And if everything works in this order of how we even have assignments, you have a job that you go do, you report back. You have something that you are tasked with, and then you have a person that you tell. And as I've learned more about like leadership and coaching, even that accountability, like being able to account for results and the way that things work, like there's a divine pattern to it. And I very much believe in that. And so regardless of how things get like mixed around with the way humans are and like it's complicated, I still find that those patterns, when they are working well, produce the best results in every area of life, whether it's relationships, families, and I'm talking about romantic relationships or whatever it is, there's those pieces of where do I fit into this? And can we have transparent conversations about it? And then how do I take those skills and translate it outward and then come back and have a council and report back to my person or my people? How did that go? And then how can we do better? So that walking alongside each other is what I really took away from the culture in general. How do I work in community? How do I work in connection with others? And those kinds of lessons just sunk really deep for me. I think that in the church, we have jargon like callings, and people use the word calling in other parts of life too. Like, oh, I feel called to this thing, or wow, I really felt this like draw to pursue a certain career or whatever it is. But in the church, it's used as like, we're giving you an assignment. We are calling you to this position. So there have been times that I've been handed jobs within the church that I did not feel ready for. Like, are you sure that's what I'm called to do? Because I might have a disagreement with the job that I feel that I want to do. So what I wanted to say on that is everything is an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity to be looked at, to try something on and see how it fits. And it's not always going to fit right. And as I've looked at roles in life that way, as when you go to try something on at a store, you try on the clothes, it's like, this is really baggy, or this is really tight, or what fits just right. But if you didn't try on a bunch of different things, you wouldn't know, like, oh, I feel confident in this outfit. I feel good when I wear this color. I feel kind of dumpy when I'm in that sweater, right? Like, there's a reason that we try things on. And I think the church gives abundant opportunity to try things on and to see what fits and see what doesn't. And so in a practice of self-exploration, and really like when you think about concepts in yoga, svadhyaya, and the way that we self-study, I learned a lot of that even growing up. So it was a natural transition for me, I think, coming into yoga and then yoga leadership because of those roles. Like you said, being able to be in positions to see, how do you run a meeting as a secretary? How do you give assignments? How do you follow up with people from a really young age? You know, from age 12, you could be part of a presidency in a group, leading activities, learning how to put together like girls camp. And we could talk all about that, learning how to put together like a group skit. There's just lots of opportunities to stand up in front of others and take a role of using your voice, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there really is. And thank you. Like that's like such a scratch of the surface of like a dive that we can take into the church and its influence on how we continue to navigate and lead. But I think you're right in that a lot of it is, there is opportunities for voice and for sharing. And one of the things that I really feel passionate about is like people figuring out how to claim their voice and how to like say the things. And it's a lot of work. I mean, it's work for me. Like this is a continual learning journey of how do I do that? And also you're as a child in the church, you can go up in the front of the entire congregation on the first Sunday of the month and go and say what you believe in from the microphone.
Yeah.
And we did. And that's like totally what happened in front of, 300 people. And you can go and do that. And that's not small. And so to have it be like this acknowledgement, I think I just want this moment of acknowledgement that we don't just land in something. And sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm just like, here I am. Doesn't even work. It's fine. It's just like, this is what it is. You're like, actually, there is like a whole line of a story here that has prepared you in this instance, right? To like step into this role where you are. And the practice of showing up and maybe trying things on. And I like how you said that in my different roles of leadership within the church. I think especially when I was the Relief Site president and helping other women navigate like their spaces in the church. Like I was always like the role in the church, I think you're right. Like we don't always know what will land and what will not. And to use that as a direct reflection for life, right? And say like, maybe you'll like try on a role and you'll be like, that shirt doesn't fit. Like that was an excellent kind of example. And you can take it off. Like you're not stuck. And I think that's like a piece of where yoga came in. I know for me and like the mixing of yoga plus my Mormon background and like that, like kind of dance between the kind of ideas between them is like, there's some freedom to move. And how do we give ourselves that permission still within having a structure? And so like seeing the church, you've like kind of outlined how much structure there was, but also you have shared how you're like, I tried on some things and also without saying so, you untried on some things.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that and speaking to that, because I think that I see where I am now as being very divinely led. when I look back, and, you know, I might not share this with every student who ever walks in the door, but it's so humbling to me to see the ways I do feel I was very prepared. And I could have chosen not to take it as that, you know, like I'm creating the story and connecting all the dots, but I also see that everything can be for our good. Like, I don't necessarily ascribe to the belief that, oh, everything happens for a reason. But I do believe that everything that happens to us, we can then choose what we take from it and how we turn it around. I mean, gosh, like Viktor Frankl is probably one of the best examples of that ever. You know, a Holocaust survivor who talked about how you frame and choose, like, and this is a really sensitive and tender topic, like how you choose to see your role in the piece of what's happened to you, people acting upon you, other people's choices you can't control. And then how do I utilize that for the best good for myself, for others? And being a trauma-informed yoga teacher, I really take these topics really sensitively to, like, not everyone has positive experiences within the church, even, for example. Like, not everyone's experience, whether they stay in it or leave, is going to be walking away and saying, that was for my good. And I completely see that and can respect that. And so I think just recognizing in my self-reflection, these experiences have led me to where I feel now that I can walk alongside others. And my biggest passion in life truly is for helping others to feel close to the divine. I do feel like that is my purpose. And I'm talking about the divine on like a maybe bigger scale than some people might think of it. I'm talking about, you know, connection to the universe, to all others. What are those truly divine traits that maybe even as humans, we can't really emulate perfectly ever, but allowing that to move through me to others, I do feel like I've been set up really well for that in the roles that I've had before to get those glimpses of what does it look like when the divine is working well? And what does it look like when we are not in alignment? And if we're not really paying attention to the people around us and those traits that we are trying to get across, where does the breakdown happen? And I think it's the same way in an individual practice. You know, when you're in a yoga practice on the mat, it's like, how can I be in the way? You know, the way the Tao is talked about is like, there is a way that everything's in harmony. And when that is working, which is kind of ideal, it's like bliss. That's when you get to those moments in Shavasana that you're like, everything integrated just the way it should have for me to have this moment of maybe like divine encounter of inspiration, awareness. You're just like those aha moments you get on the mat. And then there's those moments where you're like on your mat and fidgety and just like, I cannot get out of this class fast enough. I'm uncomfortable. I don't even like the teacher's voice, right? That's the monkey mind is going. There was a breakdown, right? Things were not lining up. And so the experience was suffering. The experience was kind of miserable and like clunky and icky. And those are really valid too. And then how do we learn from both of those? Like, what happened for me to get this result? And what happened for me to get this result? And so I think for me, seeing like how I grew up in the church and the experiences I had, I'm so grateful for, because they've now led me to a place where I can step back and kind of witness and say, well, there's space for all of it. There's space for those that have a lot of hurt in the world and are showing up in ways that there's a lot of healing needed. And how can I walk alongside those people and honor that experience? Mm-hmm. Just as much as there might be people who come in and want to do yoga 7 days a week and can't get enough of it. And it's like, oh, there's experience for people that don't like something as much as there's experience for people that do like it. And that way that we are with each other, to me, is like, that's the work of life. You know, that's how we walk each other home. That's how we help each other in this just experience of navigating being a human. Like, gosh, we're all on this planet trying to figure it out. So sometimes like, you're going to say, this shirt was weird for me, but I think it's perfect for you. Let me like pass that along. And then can you imagine if we were in a world where everybody was wearing the thing that fit, that they felt the most confident in, that was just like, this is me and I can show up as my best self in this way. And I had to try on 50 million outfits to find it, but here I am. And how powerful, like, that's what I believe in with yoga. And then that's why it's been so powerful for me to like see that path over time that's led me here. And I can't wait to see where I am in a year or 5 years or 10 years and learning how it grows even more.
Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking here of the divine and of like this awareness of bigger picture and of path. I think of like, what's the path here? Like, where do I go with this? How are these stories weaving together? Where's my next step? Or do I need to stand here for a second? Like all of those things. I would love to hear about, just because this is we experience this together. I think a person, like in our leadership journeys and in our ways that we might be like, okay, sure, I'll try on this. Like I'll start a studio. I'll like run this business. I'll do this thing. Right. Like there's a certain amount of like self-work, and I don't even know if I want to put the word work on there too. Just like a self-awareness of maybe the divinity in ourselves. Right. And I think that word, might be kind of nuanced for some folks, depending on your relationship with that word, but kind of like the idea that you're worthy of showing up in the room. And if we just put the word worthy on there, go to Brené Brown, we'll go to that, right? Like that regardless of what your story has been, regardless of what you've told yourself or others have told about you, that like you can show up and you're wanted and you're needed and you're loved, and that like, yeah, let's come. This is like kind of how the podcast started. I'm like, yeah, you have a story here and you're not boring. Like, come and say the things. But in this, I think part of your claiming yourself in order for you to help others learn how to claim themselves, like there's a lot of different ways that I think that that has happened in your life. But I'd love for you to share about last July and how that has led into the studio.
Wow. I mean, 100% directly is the first thing I'll say. So last July, in one of the cool projects that you had going on, you had created the tabernacle retreat concept and reclaiming. I love how you articulated that idea of what it means to be within ourselves, within our bodies. And just, you've talked about this on the podcast a little bit too, but to give a little background, like a tabernacle was a temporary dwelling place that in a historical, religious context, the tabernacle was like this traveling temple, like a place that was holy. And it was this idea that like God could dwell on the earth, but in a temporary way that, didn't have to be totally permanent. And the way that we look at that with ourselves and our bodies and how we live within this self, just as you were speaking there, I was thinking with Brené Brown and talking about worthiness, there is something inherent, or I guess innate, that we all show up with, whether we recognize it or not. I think there's lots of layers that get ourselves covered up over the years. And this is that fundamental teaching of yoga, right? There is a soul in there. You might not be totally connected with it, but there's something there. You are a being having an experience on this earth, whether you ever think about that or not, it's a reality. And so, for me, it's always been a topic of like deep excitement to explore what is this, to journal, to like learn about myself. I really wanted to study theology and world religions and philosophy in college. So before yoga, this was even something I would nerd out about. But all of us are showing up with an experience. Like you said, everybody has a story. Everybody has something, a relationship with themselves that is going to happen in the way that we show up with others and the way that we just show up. Wake up in the morning, there's a consciousness. And so now what does that consciousness do as we're going around throughout our day, as we're showing up for jobs, as we're showing up in life? There's like a soul in there that we maybe, I loved how you talked about this with Kelly actually in a couple podcasts ago, how she talked about yoga nidra and that way of like how we get deeper to that layer. Like, how do we find that true self? So I think mine's been pretty clouded for a long time. Like those layers that, you know, keep us kind of not recognizing that inner self can really be hard to like get down into. And I think that prior to July of last year, I was really walking around trying to find it, trying to put out the self that I felt most aligned with, but I was still sort of in this chameleon phase of being like, well, I need to show up in this way over here. And even particularly as it went for yoga, it was like, well, the yoga jobs are over here. So I need to kind of fit into this role of teaching yoga in this way for this more fitnessy based studio. And that's okay. There's a place I can kind of fit in that role. It's the old trying things on, right? I'm going to go try to teach for this yoga studio that doesn't feel quite right, like aligned with my heart, but I I do see the value. So I'm going to still try it on. So come July, you had this amazing retreat. And I was like, this resonates with me. This idea of a dwelling place, of how are we being within ourselves? How are we paying attention to this, to the self, even the body, like how we can't really separate the physical from the emotional. And I had taken my trauma-informed training, which really did a beautiful job of covering all of those elements of the physical body and the nervous system and the very literal scientific chemical things that happen, along with the energetic body, the wisdom, the all those layers of the koshas that we get into with yoga nidra. Like, there's actually a marrying there of these modalities, and just how I've always felt like science and faith can go together. They're not in opposition. They very much interweave. We can't really separate one from the other, but we can learn about the nuance of it. So as you're talking about divinity and the divine, which I know is a word that is really big and can have a lot of different emotions tied with it. For me, this was a divine experience, like going to the body celebration is ultimately what you ended up calling it for this half day retreat. So coming out here to Sacramento, to this area, I was like, oh, easy yes, right? Like, we already worked together online in a number of ways, but I thought, like, I really want to go in person and see what this is about. And I'll be honest, it was scary as hell because I didn't know anyone there except you. And we had never met in real life. And going to this retreat was like a big thing for me. And I was not used to doing things for me. I would do things for others all the time. I'm a big, like, giver, telling other people to go do things for self-care, but putting that back for myself was a new concept of like, okay, can I do something that's just for me? Can I spend money on myself? Can I go on a half day retreat and not ask permission of anybody else, but claim my voice and say, this is a thing I want to do that I'm excited about. And I don't care how you feel about it. I'm going to go do this thing. Felt really bold. Part of the body celebration was doing some yoga. We had like the sound bath and meditation, and there was also the opportunity to have portraits done individually that were nude. And knowing that going into the retreat, and Bonnie, you were fantastic about making it super clear that like, this is private, right? No one's going to watch you take pictures unless I guess you wanted them to. This is you and the photographer. And I was like, okay, this is just me and the photographer. I can even be in an enclosed space. Like, you had the option for us to do pictures that were like in a room, or we could be outdoors. And so knowing that going into it, I was like, hey, I get to drive. I get to be in charge of the choice here. And that really inspired me a lot too, in the way that trauma is talked about. And in my trauma-informed yoga training, like, trauma is when things happen too fast. It's overwhelming for the nervous system. So it's like too soon, too much, too fast. Those are like the big things that will make up a traumatic experience. And even in the way that it's complex trauma over time, it's things that like needs aren't being met, needs aren't being met, needs aren't being met. And I think it can even happen in the way that we self-abandon, the ways that it's like, I'm not meeting my needs. I'm not listening. When my inner voice says, this isn't for me, am I responding? When my inner voice says, this is a yes or this is a no, am I honoring that? Learning how to reclaim that and to make a choice that's right for us is no easy task. I think this is a lifelong project. So all of those things considered was what drew me to come to the body celebration. I was like, okay, this directly goes in what I feel aligned with on a trauma level. She's honoring everybody's choice. There is just abundant opportunity here to try things on. And so I was like, I'm going to go try. I'm going to go do this thing that sounds uncomfortable, but I'm also so interested in it. Like, no one forced me. I don't even know. Were you surprised when I signed up? Like, did you think I would go, or was it
Well, I think that we had talked about it in like in one of our conversations. I think, you know, you were working with me. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And you're like, okay, I don't know. In everywhere I go, I was even having a conversation with somebody recently. I'm like, there's an easy out here. Like, I'm not here trying to force anybody's hand on anything. I think we will go the places when we are ready to go there. And if we're all a little bit more open palmed with each other, like, there's no force. This is like, hey, here's a thing. Here's an invitation. If you are looking for an invitation, here's an invitation. And also, this doesn't have to be the right time. Maybe it's a spark of something. Maybe you're like, it makes you ask a different question that you didn't even know that you could ask. And that might be enough to like create a whole different sort of ripple in somebody's experience. And so I think of a lot of what I do as being that, like, let's make ripples. Like and if somebody is like, ooh, I'm going to ride that. And like, yeah, give me it. Or other people are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to escape from that ripple. Do not touch me. Right. And then other people are like, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to stand still and feel the ripple. And I can't move in it at all. And that's totally like, all of those are legitimate. And so I mean, it's a delight to have you there. And also I was totally fine no matter where you landed.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate hearing that because I know there was never an expectation for me to go, but I also felt totally like welcomed being there that you were like, oh yeah, heck yeah, come on. I think looking forward to that experience taught me a lot about myself too. The few years ago, I probably never would have even considered going to something like that, like with strangers, doing something that was kind of just for me. I invited a few friends to go and they were all kind of like, I don't know what I would do with that. Like having pictures of myself if I were naked, right? Like I was like, well, this doesn't have to be for anything. You know, like it's just the experience of being seen. And I think I could see that, or at least that's what connected with me on, like when you talked about this retreat, I was like, this is really a deeper level of self-exploration. And also that ability to say, how am I letting myself be seen by others? Because I have a really big, just speak for myself, I'm not going to assume anyone else listening does this, but I have a really big thing about controlling my image outward and how people view my character and thinking I can ever control how people see me, which spoiler alert, you can't. Even your best attempts to portray yourself in a certain way out in the world, like everybody's going to see you how they see you. They can make up a story about you and you never have any control. And that's been really hard for me to let go of over the years. And so this retreat was coming up and I was even thinking about, as I do, I overanalyze and overthink and anticipate, and I would get emotional even thinking about like, how's this going to be? Because I did not grow up ever being nude in front of other people, even my own sister. That was like not a thing that I grew up with, where some other people, it's like they change in front of each other. It's like no big deal. Modesty was a really big topic growing up, and we could go on for days about that. And so just this concept of, even if no one else was going to see me, like I'm choosing to undress myself and I'm not totally comfortable with my body. What is someone else going to think about my body? Right. So then all those questions come up about judgment. And I know I never had to do this. It was never a have to. And I think that's what also made it so appealing. It was like, no, this is for nobody else. And even if I get there and decide, you know what, I don't want to, I knew that would be honored too. If I got there and was like, I want to do this in a different way, that would all be up to me. So I was like, this is really empowering. It was really that moment to be able to say, like, I get to choose the opportunity here and what I try on. And I have to say, going to that half day retreat was so surprising in ways that actually had nothing to do with the photography. Like we ate amazing food together, sat out on the lawn in this beautiful yard at someone's home out in Davis, which is very rural. And just, we did poetry. We ran around the circle and just talked. And the magic that was felt of everybody coming together that day, which will never be recreated in that exact same way ever again. That was the impact for me. We had this sound bath outside that Taylor led, and I had one of the best meditations I've ever had. And laying there in that moment, it was one of those times when you feel totally integrated. It's that bliss moment where you get to be like, I can't tell where my body starts and the ground ends. And like, I am just here. I just am. It's one of those things that's hard to put into words unless you've been in that moment where you have a really good shavasana and you're like, that's the thing. I just am floating in this experience of being here, existing, and had this really great visualization that I can't really describe, but it was in that moment that I was just so aware of the divine awareness of me. And for me, I put that into articulation as like, I do believe that we have like a heavenly father and heavenly mother. I believe in like a god and a goddess, like that perfect intertwining of divine masculine, divine feminine. Like that is what divinity is for me. But for other people, it might be like the universe, the whole, the higher self, whatever source is for you, where is the source of consciousness? That was a moment. Yeah, I was just like in it. And so then that was before we went and took the pictures. And so when I went and did my little photography session, which was as private as I wanted it to be, it was so powerful. And I think really sacred in that moment of like how I was holding myself, how I felt held in that moment, like literally no judgment. And I think having that opportunity to talk with everyone ahead of time and the photographer and just knowing how neutral the experience really was allowed it to be what it needed to be. So I left that weekend feeling like I am awesome. Like not in this overly confident view of myself, but saying like, I just am this really cool person. And I've never really let myself see myself that way before. It was like, I really am loved and I can celebrate being alive. Like I realized how much I'd been living, but not giving myself permission to be alive. Like there's so much joy and abundance that comes from the experience of witnessing. Like one of the things we went around and shared was finishing the sentence, I love it when. And that share, when we went around the circle and we just kept going around like what, 3 or 4 times, and people would just say one thing, I love it when blank. And as we all shared, we were all like, ooh, yeah, ooh, that too. And this shared universal experience of what it means to exist, of what it means to be in a body, of those feelings that were physical, of those feelings that were emotional. Everyone shared for different sensory experiences. But in the end, it was like, wow, being alive is really cool. Being in a body is really cool. And all of us had different body experiences and different body stories and relationships with ourselves. But being able to say like, I am with myself and I love this right now, this day with these people, like this was yoga to me. It was full connection. It was just all of the things. We did physical movement. We did a yoga practice, like moving on the mat. We did meditation. It was like all the limbs were covered, right? There was a little bit of everything. And that to me was wholeness. And I was like, whatever I do next, it will be this. Maybe not this retreat. Like Bonnie can do a retreat like no one else. But whatever I do next, it has to feel like this or it's not yoga. And that's putting a lot on the experience, right? I was like, that's encompassing so many pieces working together. But it was a Saturday. And directly that next work week on Monday, I went into my job and the studio I was a manager at, we got a new boss, new owner. And that Monday I was like, oh, this is a no. It was so clear because I was like, this does not feel like Saturday felt. And nothing to that studio. They've gone on and thrived and they're wonderful. But I just knew it was so peaceful sitting in that room and I'm looking around at all these people I've been leading and people I love and just felt like, wow, they're going to do great things, but this is not my yoga home. Because I'd gotten so clear on who I was that weekend. I had gotten so more than I ever have before in my entire life, that clarity and like then to own my voice and to be able to say, because in the past I was at Chameleon. If people needed me to do a job, I was a yes man, yes woman, right? I was like, yeah, I will figure out how to do that thing. It doesn't feel super great, but I'll do it. And that day they'd even said like, hey, we expect you to be able to do some of these things, including leading a training next year. And I was like, no, there is no part of me that wants to do that. And I wish you the best. And here's someone else that I think it would fit great for. I said, I would highly recommend this person.
Here's the shirt.
You guys are going to do, yes, you're going to do great things. You will look awesome in that outfit. This is not my outfit. And within the month I had left that studio, I had even interviewed at a couple other studios and those both felt like no's, which was so sad because in the moment I wanted them to be yeses. Like my logical brain said, this will be good, Steph. You go interview at this studio and it'll be fine. And sitting in those interviews, I was like, no, because it wasn't here in my heart. It wasn't aligned. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I just totally said, okay, well, God, right? Like you're showing me the way. I felt that alignment. At the retreat in July, I know who I am and can see myself now more clearly than ever before. So I will just trust that the thing you want me to do is out there and that it will feel right when I get to it. And that was a huge risk. I know not everybody can just like quit their job with no backup plan. And I am not a person who usually does that. And literally the next week after my last day at that studio, people said, where are you going to teach next, Steph? I said, I don't know. Just follow me online. Something will come up. The next week is when I had the conversation with the owner of the studio I'm at now, that said, hey, I need to be done. And I know you've always loved this studio. Would you consider buying it? Do you want it? And that was an easy yes. I was like, I have no idea how to do that, but that is 100% where I need to be. And I just knew whatever it takes to make this work, like it's going to be the yoga. It's going to be all of it. And I have not regretted one moment of it. And it's been really hard, but to bring me to where I am today, where you and I are sitting across from each other now having this conversation, it was like directly that retreat last July was the moment. It was that paradigm shift that I knew staying in alignment would lead me where I needed to be. And the magnetism and the people that I have found now that have crossed paths with me, again, I see it as being totally divinely led, but we have been an answer to each other's seeking. So all of that is to say, like, yeah, do the work, right? Get clear, do the stuff that's scary. Because I didn't know what that opportunity was really going to open up for me to say, like, this is a little uncomfortable, but I'm so intrigued. I feel like there's something calling me here, right? I am being led to this moment, and I could never have guessed or predicted how it ended up.
I love this. I mean, this makes me just want to talk to everybody who came to that and to see where they've landed or what they've like taken from that experience. Cause I think that's really what I have found in my times of joining in circle and having the yoga, right? Like all this variety of being held and of different ways of attention or experience. And then to layer on it, like truly like getting nude and getting pictures made. And I think you're absolutely right. There's this scene portion of it. And it's not just, and we talked a lot about reflection in that. And it's not just that you get to be seen, that you are seen by a photographer, but you got the pictures back. And then you saw yourself, and that it wasn't for anything. It wasn't a boudoir shoot to like gift to somebody. Like you could, if you wanted to. I mean, they're all these people that attended were like beautiful humans, and like everybody brings their own unique beauty into that space. And so, yes. And it's just this practice of allowing yourself to be seen. And I think one of the most important pieces is just it's being seen by you, like you being seen by you. And so I'm so appreciative of like this reflection you're sharing and how you said that you got so clear more than any other time in your life, like who you are, and felt yourself in that experience. And to have that be a correlation where you put yourself in a place to see others, to be seen by others, like to have that experience is so powerful and brave and uncomfortable. And it's not, and it's, it will be the right timing for people if it is like, I have found a similar power in taking off my clothes and letting myself like be in that comfort kind of a stream of where do you land in the experience of being photographed? Cause you're right. There isn't control there. Like we are just who we are.
I think what you hit on there is I had never been seen without expectation. I had never had the opportunity prior, allowed myself to be seen without assuming whose eyes are going to be on it, or whose eyes are going to be on me, I should say. Like prior to this, you know, experiences with intimacy and things as well had always been like, well, this is for that person, right? This is for a purpose, for something else. And so even my friends who had said, well, why would I go get pictures taken? Like, what would I use them for? I'm like, nothing. That's exactly the point. Like, I actually really loved that I didn't tell anyone else I went and did this. I didn't tell anyone I was getting these pictures, so that when they came back, like no one could ask me, did you get your pictures back yet? I didn't want anyone else's expectation on seeing me, of me seeing myself, of any of that. I was like, I don't ever have to share these. I don't even have to look at them when they get sent back. Because actually, I think the experience was in the moment, there was no coaching about guidance of how to stand. Like you said, it wasn't a boudoir. It was nothing like that. It was literally, Harper did a beautiful job of just being with us, just being there. It was like that true experience of, I think, what it hopefully should feel like when you come into a yoga space. It's non-judgment, no expectation. It's how do I hold you and be alongside you in this experience? And if you need to pause, we pause. And if you need to cry, we cry. And if you want to laugh, we laugh. But it was like, she just really was in partnership. And to me, that's always been when yoga is, it's being in partnership with others. And that connection is what creates the divine moments. And so I think like getting the pictures back and like just seeing them for myself, like I'd never seen myself that way before because I'd never put myself in a position to be seen, but it was like, wow, I honestly had so many stories I told about how the pictures were going to turn out, right? I imagined in my mind, like, oh, what if I look weird and this and that? And that. Getting it back, I was like, wow, I have not appreciated myself. I've never just allowed myself to like witness me on that physical side. So both having the experience of the meditation witnessing, which is very inner, and then the physical outward, it was just brought together things in a really unique way that I think letting go of expectation is a practice in and of itself. But like giving yourself the opportunity to just say like, here I am without anything, like I'm not portraying myself with certain clothes on to look a certain way. I'm not portraying myself in a certain setting for a certain purpose. It's just, who am I when I'm just here, when there's no other layers around it? Who is that? Who is that self?
One, if we jump to like a conversation about leadership, and we talk about like you standing up in front of the room, me standing, anybody like standing up in front of the room, and the way we are in our bodies to lead, the way that we use our bodies, our voices, the way we lean into a conversation, the way we look at somebody, the way that somebody else looks at us, the way we talk with our hands, or, you know, like this is all physical thing and not to be discounted. It's like the physical practice of yoga is teaching us internal things. We're not separated entities, right? And so this idea of choosing to put yourself in this place and choosing to like be vulnerable in like your own definition of vulnerable and brave in your own definition of brave and being in this circle and taking off your clothes and being like, there's nothing to prove. Like there's nothing to prove here. I just get to be. And how then you have take that and integrated that. And now you stand up in front of a room. And I think of all the mentoring I do with other teachers and other leaders and being like, how do you live in your skin? How can you just like let yourself like embody, like literally your body, like your body is really powerful and houses this intense amount of energy and spirit that moves other people. And if we like what's our relationship literally with that part of us? And it's not important. It's like, it is important. It is like a piece of the story. It is a tool. Like our body is like a tool that we use to like navigate the world and to lead. And I think we don't always think of it that way. And how do we like stand, or how do we be like, okay, like, you know, maybe we overthink about it or like cover it, smaller, bigger, you know, whatever, more clothes, less clothes, like make the body like look a certain way. And really it's just like, just, this is the body. And how do you like find ease in that? Which is a whole sort of life kind of practice, but definitely a piece of leadership, I think. And owning your voice as owning, like it's owning space in the room. And if you're going to share a voice and if you're going to lead with your voice, I think that's like you're taking up space. If you're going to own that your body is a shape, because all of our bodies are a shape, like that's taking up space. And so giving ourselves permission to be seen in voice, in spirit, in energy, in body, all of it.
Yes. And thank you for sharing that too. As we talked about before, like there really cannot be a separation. We think a lot about these parts in different aspects, but whatever we do physically affects us mentally, emotionally, and vice versa. So there really isn't a separation of the physical experience with the mental, spiritual. And I think that's why yoga is so powerful. And for a lot of people, it's bringing together the body, mind, and spirit to work in harmony. But when I physically show up as a leader at the studio, I actually think a lot about myself, and like, I can use labels like, okay, I'm a middle-class white woman, very petite. I am slim. There's a way that yoga looks when I do it. I'm hypermobile. I can do arm balances and enjoy them. I like power yoga, but I also don't think that the way I do yoga is the right fit for everybody. So that was a huge part of me starting a studio concept in this way. Like, I took on a studio that was already in existence in this community that was already here. So it was also part of that. How can I meet them where they are right now in understanding yoga the way they've been taught it up to this point, and then help to bring in some other elements I feel passionate about? But like, how does my presence portray yoga? How is someone coming into my room and having an experience with me, or even as a leader of yoga teachers, how are we navigating that with each other? Because there can be a lot of assumptions. There can be a lot of expectations, right? Like, if I go learn from this girl teaching yoga in the front of the room, it's going to feel like this. And a lot of people are pre-intimidated just by even, I think, how I look, or I'm very aware of like how I show up online, right? Like, and I think, Bonnie, it's so interesting. I'd love to hear your thoughts too on this, like, yoga strong. I've always loved, like, in how you blend yoga and weight training, you know, there's strength and there's the flexibility. And coming into the first yoga teacher circle round, or even flow school, and even knowing you as well as I did up to that point in the way you talk about yoga, I was like, but am I going to need to do yoga that way? Am I going to need to teach it the way Bonnie teaches it? And you are incredible to work with and learn from. I mean, if anyone here hasn't done flow school, I can't recommend it enough, because you are so big about owning your voice as a teacher, right? Owning, like, if you are a yin teacher, if you're an Iyengar teacher, if these other styles aren't your strength, then how can you step into that? And I think that is yoga leadership, is saying, like, how are we, the same thing we're telling our students should be the same thing we tell our teachers, and the same way we lead as a studio is, it's not always going to look the same for everybody, and helping people find their fit in yoga. And their fit might be they always need to do restore and meditation, but where there is breath and mind, there can be yoga, right? There's a famous quote, and I just love it because that is so true. And are we truly doing that for people? Are we helping them see that, like, hey, if you have breath and mind and you show up, you are in the yoga body you need to be in. Whatever happens physically after that is secondary, and it's still super important, but like, you showed up, and now we can make the skill easy, right? We can help you find your variations, your mobility, your props for support. We can do all the things. That's what we're here for, is to help you feel held. But if you're showing up for that work, you're going to get it.
Body and breath. Mind and breath. You said mind and breath.
Yeah. Where there is breath and mind, there can be yoga.
Well, there's breath and mind. Yeah. Because the shape of the body is irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. Like, it's so varied. Like, it can be so varied. I mean, breath and mind can also be varied, but it's like, okay, attention. Can your attention, like in your mind, have the attention to like, just be there and like, explore, and we're breathing. So yeah. And then it looks like so many different things. You're absolutely right. I talked to some people. I'm like, yep, you don't come to power yoga. That's not what you need in your life.
Yeah. And I've had teachers that, like, some of my teachers would come to me and I don't want to say embarrassed, but they're almost like hesitant to tell me, like, stuff. I don't feel comfortable teaching arm balances. I'm never going to teach them. Is that okay? And I'm like, 100%. I don't want you to go teach something that's inauthentic, both because you're not going to feel it. Like, you're not going to feel strong and powerful in front of the room, but the students aren't going to feel held with you in that. I do have teachers that teach inversions, and they're fantastic. And I'm like, heck yeah. If I know someone that wants to come in and learn how to go upside down, I know who to send them to. But I also know that, like, this teacher that owns the heck out of their restore class, and they are teaching a very passive, integrated, meditative, like, yoga nidra. I'm like, yeah, go to guided meditation with this person because they are going to be so passionate about it. Like, you can't not feel that joy, right? Like, it's contagious when we teach the things that are so aligned. And I think in the way that we show up physically, that matters too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we embody the things. Like, when you're excited about something, your body can't not talk. It's like, woo.
Yeah. That's such a huge piece of it. So I'm glad that you talk about all of the elements, right? It's the, it's not just how we show up and think about teaching, and we can parrot and emulate other teachers we've had and share the words. But like, when we find our truth, when we find the fit, and we're finding the yoga that's inspiring to us and then show up as that, I don't think it can't not be felt. And I think that's how the studio I'm finding is going so far, is where I am in this still like baby yoga studio ownership. I always refer to where I'm at as baby stage, because I feel like I never quite feel totally confident. Like, coming out of yoga teacher training, you know, when you're like, yeah, I can lead a class, but you also know it just barely scratched the surface. That's kind of how I feel right now. I'm like, okay, I am a studio owner. So now I can say that out loud. Like, I run a yoga studio. I have a team of like 14 people and they're amazing. And yet there's so much learning, like so much of figuring out the pace and honoring like what it means and what our community needs. And it's always going to shift. And so being in that flow, I mean, it is a direct applicable lesson for how we use the yoga in real life.
Yeah. Well, and as an owner, you're stepping into a different sort of navigation between like what is success and failure, and you're taking ownership for that. Like, any entrepreneurship journey is like not just owning like when things are going well, but also owning when maybe they need to be tweaked, when like all of that. And I know that you and I can talk for a long, long time, but there's like a big conversation, I think, here of like things that you have gleaned while stepping into this ownership kind of journey, and going from being teaching at a studio to like now having this different lens. And truly, it's like this different perspective where you're like, okay, I see all the numbers. I see the whole schedule. And you, as like a leader, I know that you're dedicated also to like communicating with this team and team building, and helping each of those teachers also bring the gifts that they have, and letting those like really live in whatever way those show up, and navigating how that fits with a studio and with like the things that people need that are coming to your studio. And I love also that your studio is giving a lot of restorative practices, and where there's a lot of power in your area as well. So all of that kind of play that you're bringing and the attention that you're bringing, like maybe your baby steps, but like also it's a whole lot.
It's so complicated. I think I could just say that. And I share a lot about what you say, finding the intersection of work and play. I've always loved how you've said that, because we talk about steadiness and ease, right? It's the sitting in the body well is really what yoga is. The only thing that's truly ever said about it in the sutra is to find a seat that is firm yet relaxed. So it's like, interpret that however you want, but we are trying to find the balance between how can I hold steady and also be able to find freedom within this movement. There's structure, but there's also ways to move. And that's why yin has been so powerful for me. It's about finding the water course way. It's like, how are we navigating in a way that helps us find the balance? So we're not wasting our energy on the extremes of trying to like pendulate between, well, I can be this person over here, but now I need to run and be this person over here. And I'm a person who wants to do it all. I'm always like, yes, I can do all the things. I'll squeeze it in. And I stress myself out. So for me, a lot of the work is learning when to say no, is that balance of, you know what, this was a great idea and now it's too much. How can we do less better? And so that has been the big complicated thing so far. As you mentioned, all those pieces that have to work together is, what is the community needing right now? What are my teachers needing right now? What are the numbers saying? What is happening even in the weather outside? Like, I have my eyes on all these things to think about. What are we offering? What do we push forward on? What do we step back from? And I've already had to own a few times that, you know what, this was not totally right. I thought we were going to go in this direction. And I've had to go back to people on email and say, pause, we are going to push this off. We're going to put this on hold. It felt like a yes and now it doesn't. That is a push and pull that is hard to own and to be able to be vulnerable. I think Brené Brown has modeled this impeccably with the way she took a pause on her podcast. I found that to be so inspiring last year when she said, you know what? We have new information now. And as a team, we are going to stop until we have figured out how we want to go forward. And I'm like, wow, what modeling of leadership, truly, because that is hard to say, I don't always have all the answers and I'm not always going to do it right. And even as a studio owner and business owner, you want to say like, these people need to have confidence in me. So there is a level of like, how vulnerable do I share on certain things? Like I have a manager that she and I get to talk about some of the nitty gritty a little bit more. So it's good to have those people. I'm finding like the people you put on the rope, right? The people that are all grabbing hold to keep the vision. It's like, hey, we're all pulling together to make this studio work. But I have a business mentor that I work with every week. So I have a business coach who's owned a studio who I talk with every week, who's told me the ins and outs of here's what we learned. Here's what I would recommend, right? Like that's invaluable to have someone ahead of me on the rope pulling with me who believes in my vision as much as I do. So surrounding us with ourselves with those people, and then down the rope are all my teachers who are here saying, yeah, Steph, we'll pull with you. We're in this with you. It's a joint effort. Yeah. And trusting that I'm going to say when we need to pull harder, when we need to pull less, as we're figuring out the way together, it's a dance for sure.
Yeah. Well, I love how you're sharing that it's all these people together. And I think, I don't know, maybe wrapping it here, this moment of just like this encouragement for all of us to like kind of keep on this journey of mentorship. And that looks like, mentorship / I don't know. I've had people say like, okay, so you're just like a networker. And I'm like, sure, I guess like that's like a professional term, like networking. But I'm like, I think who are those people that have been someplace that we haven't been? And how do we keep like leaning into that space? Like, and pay the people to support you. We're all like supporting each other here in this way, right? Like, how do we show up and have those people in our lives and include them and to help us get to some places we haven't, we don't know exactly the steps for, but being held in that way helps us be able to like hold the rope maybe a little bit stronger ourselves. And then those people that are maybe going along with us, like right next to us. And then those people that we're passing that are like behind us that we're like, we need you to hold too. And so it's like this whole group of people ahead, people next to, people behind, but we are all holding it together. And like that awareness. And I think for me, it's something I think about a lot because I'm like, this is a business of people. And we don't do it alone.
Oh, yeah. Oh gosh, that's so powerful, Bonnie. I what I heard you say was to lead is to see others. Like leading is seeing who's around you, whether it's, you know, those who have gone before me, those who are coming up, those who are side by side. It is standing back and witnessing. One of the biggest things I wrote down from your initial yoga teacher circle, like the OG yoga teacher circle, was deep witnessing. You had said that, I think, in one of our groups or someone else had, and I was like, that is it. That is the thing. It is being able to stand back in that seat of consciousness to witness ourselves and then to be able to witness that in others. Like that is the gift. And I think that's what yoga gives us, and that opportunity to then take that out in the world when we're paying attention to who else is out there, who can we include, who needs their voice elevated, who has something to say that maybe I can tell they're hesitant, but I want to draw it out for them or give them the opportunity. You know, I think leadership is all about opportunity. It's what are we being asked to step into? I could have said no to buying the studio. It came up and I could have been like, doesn't feel like I want to do that right now. And maybe the studio would have closed and the community would have had to go on and find another place to be. But that was an opportunity that I could say, I'll try this on and see how it fits and go with it. Even if I don't have all the expertise, I trust that other people will be here around me to hold me too. And I can ask questions and we'll all give each other feedback and we'll grow together. Like, I don't know who originally said this, but I've been using it a lot lately, which is a rising tide lifts all boats. And so I think as we're on that journey and you're feeling the lift coming up, like how can we bring more of that together because I don't have anyone to lead if no one shows up. And there is nothing to teach if no one's in the room. You know, so like there's so much to it that is individual and community.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Thank you. Thank you for this conversation. I mean, again, there's a lot of other rabbit holes that you and I can go down. And I think there's, you have a lot of wisdom in sharing like your journey of stepping into this space of owning the studio. And a lot of folks I know who are out there who are interested in that. Maybe we'll pop back on here again, you know, but also we're going to put your contact info in the show notes. So if anybody's like, so Steph, lesson number one, ready, set, go. Tell me. and you're a coach. You're going through a coaching program. And so how you keep on arriving in the world and show up and coaching people to, and as a leader. So I would just like encourage anybody out there who's listens to our conversation that if they're feeling inspired to reach out to you for coaching, especially for like leadership within the studio. And I don't have a brick and mortar, so I don't have like that on the ground sort of experience, but you do, and you are highly intuitive in the way that you then lead. So I'm going to put your contact info there. And for anybody in the Sacramento area, of course, like go check it out. Like if you're looking for something that's not power yoga, like go look up Santosha Yoga, which I'll put the information in the show notes as well. And come experience Steph and this community and this team.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie. I'm just grateful for the space to be able to have this conversation. And yes, thank you for mentioning my coaching program also that I'm currently in. I will be taking on intern clients. So if anybody wanted coaching in these kinds of topics, or it can be anything, but I would love to just communicate with anyone that feels inspired, whether they're local or not. We didn't even really get to talk about the name of the studio, but Santosha Yoga Collective is the studio that I own. And it being a collective was truly an important piece to me. It's the bringing together of all the views, of all of the different wisdom that we each have and coming into this, and how do we share it together? So I would love to talk more about yoga leadership anytime.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you for being here. Anybody out there who is a yoga leader or a leader in any sort of way, and please zoom out and recognize maybe you are a leader, even if you don't think of that right up front, because you probably are. Steph and I, as like this conversation, I think has reflected, are truly here to help elevate voices. And hopefully to, you know, whatever it is that you have come from. And for us, like having this Mormon background, finding yoga, figuring out what it means to be seen, what it means to see yourself in leadership, and the way that all that wraps together. And you are an interesting story. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, you have an interesting story. You have something to share and something to say. And there's a way that you do it that nobody else can. And so we hope that, like I'm speaking for Steph, but I'm pretty sure she agrees. Like we hope you share that, and whatever that looks like for you, like fly, go with it. We're cheering you on.
Mm. Yes, thank you, Bonnie. I love how you always say, "Be brave."
Mm-hmm. Be brave. Let's end there. Be brave, everybody. Until next time. Mwah.